gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Wonderland, Winter Wonderland.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow's glistening. A beautiful sight, oh, we're happy tonight. Walking in a winter wonderland. Gone away is a bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He's singing a song as we go along. Walking in a winter wonderland. Well, in the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is Possum Brown. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, ma'am. But you can do the job when you're in town. Later on, we'll conspire as we dream by the fire to face unafraid all the plans that we made walking in the winter wonderland.
Oh, yeah, Dino, Dean Martin. He's one of the guys you always think about when you think about Christmas songs, right? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Malloy Show. I am Paul Malloy, and along with Big Ed Davis, thank you for being with us on this Friday, December the 8th already. Wow, we're moving along, are we not? We have a lot going on today. In a few minutes, Jake Denton of the Heritage Foundation is going to join us. We are going to talk about protecting kids online. In light of that, a group of senators are hauling in big tech CEOs at the end of January to take them to task on security and protecting the kids. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And Hunter Biden is indicted in California on tax fraud charges. We're going to be talking about that a lot on the show today. Is this the straw that breaks Joe Biden's back on his run for a second term? We shall discuss it. And speaking of California, the Golden State citizens continue their outbound stampede as the state's deficit now hits, listen to this, $68 billion, with a B, $68 billion. Holy Toledo, what is going on there? And speaking of Dean Martin Christmas songs, our ultimate top 10, the top 10 greatest Christmas songs. Will that one be in there? We will find out towards the end of the show. By the way, Freedom Works is sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. I am telling you guys, get over to the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin, Andrew's Master Barbershop. They have a great haircut at a great price. Best place I've ever found for a haircut for men. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And Arbor Life Tree Service. If you have any kind of a tree issue, you want trees, you want to get rid of trees, you want stump grinding, you want to enhance the trees you have, whatever, it's Arbor Life. Call for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, apparently good news on the economy front. The U.S. job growth continued at a healthy pace in November. Apparently, and these numbers change, and the deeper we get into December, these November numbers may change. But right now, according to the Labor Department, employers added 199,000 jobs in November. And that was slightly above the 180,000 that they forecast. The unemployment rate, meanwhile, fell a couple of points. It's now at 3.7%. But remember, they only go by unemployment figures based on how many people are applying for unemployment compensation, okay? There are many more people in this country that are unemployed than 3.7%. So keep that in mind. But apparently the numbers are good in terms of what's been going on recently. The report also contained modest downward numbers as far as job growth at the beginning of the fall. Gains for September were revised downward. This is what's going to happen, I think, to these numbers here in November, too. They will be revised downward later, but right now they look fairly good. The Fed says that it is closely watching for reports of any labor market troubles. You know, they want to get involved if they can. We don't want higher interest rates from the Fed right now. We don't need higher interest rates. Many people believe the Fed's done with raising rates, although their chairman, good old Jerome Powell, said last week it would be premature to assume that there are no more rate hikes coming. I'm going to put a couple of lumps of coal in his stocking, if I can find it, Ed. We have to be on the lookout. All right. In the meantime, did you hear what happened yesterday? Hunter Biden was indicted. A California grand jury, I don't mean to laugh, handed down an indictment for Hunter. Apparently, and this is what happened to Al Capone, and all, you know, no matter what you do, if you don't pay your income taxes, that's where they get you. And they got him on this one. Apparently, he has failed to pay over $1 million in income taxes. That's not good. After the indictment, analysts predict that this would put President Biden in a self-constructed trap after he again said the other day that he was not in any way involved in influence peddling cahoots with either his son or his brother. A grand jury impaneled in D.C. hands down an indictment, and it is saying, an excerpt from the indictment says that Hunter engaged in a four-year scheme to not pay at least $1.4 million in self-assessed taxes for years 2016 through 2019. Now, I don't think they can go after him for all of that money. You know why? Because the first couple of years, the statute of limitations has taken away any chance of going after them. Now, this is this David Weiss. Remember him? He is the prosecutor in this whole.
The one that's had this evidence for, what, years?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So finally he acts. So the first thing that comes out of our minds is this. Is he doing this in some strange way to protect Joe Biden? Is this going to mean that things will be better or worse for Joe Biden? Right now, it doesn't look good.
Told you guys, my theory is that they're going to let this leak out slowly but surely, some way force Joe Biden to back out of the race.
Yeah, do you think the Democrats are involved?
I'm telling you. How long have they had this this information? I mean, all of a sudden now, it's coming up. They got to get this done by the first of the year. Got to get it done by the first of the year.
Do you think the Democrats themselves will?
I do believe so, absolutely.
Okay. Well, you may be right about this. You may be right. We are going to talk a little bit more about this later. We're going to do this. We're going to take our break right now because I cannot wait to talk with Jake Denton from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk to him about protecting kids online.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's Friday. Thank God it's Friday, right? And getting closer to Christmas. We only got 17 days, I believe. Delighted to have Jake Denton join us. Jake is a research associate in the Tech Policy Center at the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk with Jake about protecting children online. You know, all the things that kids have access to online. I think it's a very hard thing to do. Jake, welcome to Freedom Works.
Hey, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Our pleasure. So apparently, a bipartisan group of senators are going to hold hearings with big tech CEOs, I guess January the 31st or something like that. They're going to have them publicly explain why they aren't doing a better job of protecting children online. I would think it's awfully hard to keep kids away from a lot of stuff. What say you about that?
Yeah, so this is the latest iteration of, you know, what's come to become a series of these hearings over the last years where the big tech CEOs come to Washington and they have to answer for why they have allowed children to use these platforms that are just overrun with terrible things, right? I mean, they're targeting things from sexual content to content that recommends bodily harm to, you know, anything of these of the nature that could really damage the child is prevalent on, you know, whether it be the feed or really just the core features of the platform that the child would use. And so these lawmakers are hoping that, you know, leaders from companies such as Meta, Snapchat, Discord can give some answers as to why they haven't made any changes to protect our children.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be hard-pressed to explain why they haven't. But I go back to this question, how easy or how difficult is it to keep somebody that's underage from viewing certain content? Is there some sort of a foolproof method that somebody can come up with?
So it's interesting. You know, the tech companies always come to Washington. They tell you it's impossible, but we know from other apps and from other experiences with these types of technologies that actually have limitations on the features that children can use, that this is something you can do. So one instance is algorithmic targeting. You know, your child is getting recommended things that big tech has, you know, thinks they're interested in due to the data they've siphoned off on the back end. And so that is how they end up with these videos recommending suicide or recommending bodily harm. Those are recommendations from the platform. So something as simple as for users under the age of 18 not recommending content, you know, you have to only get content people who you follow, your close friends, that allows for them to have a more curated experience and not be just thrown into the wild. Another thing you can do, which is very simple, and many states are already beginning to require this of social media companies, is to verify the age of the user. You know, in many cases, there's this kind of fake age verification where we've all experienced this. You log in, it says, how old are you? Just type in a number, and now you're on the platform. There's actually some movement here where they want a real form of age verification, whether that be a driver's license or something of that nature, to prove that you're truly of age to use the platform.
I just don't see how they can enforce these things for sure. I mean, if it was show us your driver's license, some kid could take an adult's driver's license for a moment and, you know, show it. I'm rather naive about how all of this works. I'm sure there's got to be ways to do this. But, you know, you've got these things where parent-controlled devices, et cetera, and you would need to have some sort of a code. Is that kind of what you think would be the answer, you know, passwords or something like that?
So it's interesting. On the platform side, right, or device side, rather, Apple has restrictions for parents to be able to put on the device and have a little more control over the user experience. And that's great. I think, you know, every parent should take Apple up on that proposition and really put in some type of guidelines for how their kid uses the device. But many platforms have these kind of cosmetic family features where it presents well, you know, they show a graphic like we're keeping your kids safe. But at the end of the day, your kid's left vulnerable, you know, just as vulnerable if the measures weren't in place. You know, they don't really do a whole lot of anything. And so that's one step where the platforms could really improve and maybe just, you know, solve this problem on their own, is to put real family controls on the device. Make sure that, you know, if you're on Instagram, the parent really has the ability to solve for all these problems, to make sure they're not algorithmically targeted or have the ability of strangers to come to their page and leave comments and things of that nature, can all be eliminated on the platform overnight, snap of the fingers. And a lot of this just disappears out of thin air. It's just, you know, having to put the effort in.
Yeah. We're talking with Jake Denton. He is a research associate in the Tech Policy Center at Heritage Foundation. Boy, what a big issue this is, Jake. One of the things I see here as a possible way of limiting access for kids online is going through the app stores to make parental consent more doable. How exactly would that work?
Yeah, so what a lot of people don't realize is the app stores have the necessary information already to verify your age. You know, it's kind of lost on a lot of folks, but they actually have that data. They know for certain how old you are. And so the way you could potentially solve for this age verification issue or the user age being in a dangerous area is to make the app stores actually verify the age of the user upon downloading. And then there's also the interoperability side of things, where the platforms can now lean on the app stores for age verification as well. And I think really the big takeaway here is not necessarily that, you know, the app store is the end-all, be-all solution to this, but that all of the solutions are this. You know, we could do this a million different ways, and the tech companies are just choosing not to. And that's what the hearing really should look like. We should be asking the question of, okay, so we know the App Store can solve for this. You know, we can do the age verification through driver's license and all these different methods. Why aren't there a single, you know, course of action put out forward for these companies to go down? Instead, they just kind of continue business as usual after we get story after story of a kid committing suicide or being groomed or, you know, any of these horrible things. They never correct course.
Yeah. Well, in your opinion, Jake, what motivates these CEOs to not install these safeguards?
I think it all comes down to maintaining the business model. You know, first and foremost, they have this really unique user base that is producing them troves of data in these young kids. They're super users. You know, their screen time is higher than any other user. And so they are giving these tech companies invaluable insights into consumer trends. And so when you impose these limitations, it blows up the advertising model. It really blows up a lot of these revenue streams. And then on top of that, I think it's an admission of guilt, right? I mean, if you go in and you change these things, all of those testimonies they've delivered, all of those stories they've told about how it's impossible to solve for this, go in there, and suddenly it looks like, you know, why didn't we do this 10 years ago and save all these kids who we've lost? I think that's also kind of limiting their willingness to actually do something here. It would look very bad on them for all these years of inaction.
So these bipartisan senators, I don't know exactly how many it'll be, will get these CEOs together for some sort of a hearing in next month, late next month. One of the platforms, or whatever you call it, TikTok, that's been a big deal for kids, right? And people are worried about how it influences kids to do certain things certain ways. And the fact that China has a lot to do with TikTok, I don't know much about it. I know that it creeped onto my Android phone one time, and I dumped it. But what about something like TikTok? Do you think that's going to be brought up, and is something possibly going to be done about that?
Yeah, I don't believe TikTok is appearing at this hearing, but the concerns that stem from that platform still apply to all these other platforms. I think what's unique that TikTok really brought to the forefront of the social media space is that short-form video, 30-second, quick, high-stimuli type video where, you know, they can send you a really targeted message right away, and then you keep scrolling. And I think those types of kind of concerns about those features and how they're kind of uniquely powerful to young audiences will come up, and I think they are still applicable to TikTok, but as you mentioned, the core issue with TikTok is really the data privacy and national security side of things, where, you know, if your child is on that application, it's not necessarily just that they're getting horrific content. They're also, you know, being surveilled at a really alarming scale, infringing on their privacy and potentially having serious ramifications for their future.
Do you think that the involvement of the government, the federal government in particular, is going to be necessary? Higher involvement in a process of so-called protection? And if so, is that a good thing?
Yeah, well, so, you know, for the last 20 or so years, we've allowed big tech to self-govern themselves. We've allowed them to set the rules of the road, and we've kept our hands off. And we've seen what that's got us, you know, egregious consumer harms, data privacy intrusions, and ultimately, as this conversation has talked about, a lot of damage to the youngest generation, whether that be suicide, whether that be depression. We've done irreparable damage to hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of American children through these platforms. And it is the responsibility of our federal lawmakers to protect our kids. And so they absolutely should take action to make sure that this doesn't go on any longer. We can't afford another generation that has to go through this.
Here's the thing about this. We don't know, and I don't think it's quantifiable to figure out how many people are taking their lives because of the internet and what they're reading. I really don't. I think we can guess. I don't know that the people that are troubled to begin with, you know, maybe they spend more time online as well. I don't know. There's a lot of things going on here. I don't think we can just throw it into the lap of big tech. By the way, my colleague, Ed Davis, I think has a thought or a question.
Yeah, Jake, I was just wondering, should or does some of this at least fall on parenting? I mean, last time I checked, kids can't go down to Spectrum and buy their own online services. And when you hand them a device, the mobile device, which I think is the worst thing, comes along with parenting restrictions and stuff like that and checking their phones.
You know, I think that there is certainly some of the burden placed upon the parent, but they're also misled into believing that there are more tools available and that it is a lot safer than it actually is. You know, you are told this story about how you can set up parental controls and that it can be a safe experience that empowers the child. And at the end of the day, there's only so much the parent can do. The platforms and the device creators have not done enough to give the parents the tools to make it a safe experience. And you can criticize the parent for allowing the child on the device in the first place, but they were lied to. They were told a story that is simply not true. And so I think we can't really blame the parent entirely here. I think you look at a sector like big tech, you know, trillions of dollars in market cap. They have every engineer under the sun, and they have done nothing to equip the parent to protect their child. That is really who could do the most right away. We're never going to claw these devices out of the hands of our kids, even if that would be the right thing to do, which, you know, I kind of think is probably the healthiest choice. It's never going to happen. And so these tech platforms need to do what they can to protect the kids.
What about state legislators? I mean, can a state decide, or even a local community politically, can they decide, you know what, we're not going to allow kids of a certain age to be able to walk into a store and buy an app or buy an Android or a device or whatever. I mean, are there any things that you think state, non-federal, but state and local legislators might do?
Yeah, at the state level, we've seen a lot of very positive developments over the last two or so years where legislators have seen the inaction in Washington, and they've sought their own solutions. Over the last legislative session, you saw a great deal of age verification legislation take shape. Now Utah, Louisiana, Virginia, Texas, and a few others have very robust age verification policies that are going into action either now or in the very near future that will limit the ability of children to consume harmful content online. And it's not, they're not perfect, you know, they don't solve for every problem, but the most egregious cases or egregious platforms, you know, pornography websites, things of that nature, are immediately impacted, and it's making it harder for kids to see that. And so as the states kind of figure out what they can do on tech policy, I think, you know, the age verification is a good sign that, you know, they can legislate this and it can make real world impact. I expect them to kind of, you know, maybe take a little, bite a little more off, you know, go for another, another accomplishment that helps these kids stay safe online. It doesn't have to stop at age verification. They can do a lot more, whether it be, you know, restricting things through the app stores due to, you know, concerns of security, things of that nature. TikTok's a great example of that in Montana. And at the end of the day, there are the tools available to those state legislators to make the internet a safer place. They don't just have to defer to Washington.
Well, Jake, thank you so very much for coming on. Very, very important topic, and I really appreciate it. Look forward to talking with you again sometime.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
Jake, well, I was shocked when he said parents are lied to.
Really?
And the thing is with
TikTok... Parents are lied to by the kids?
The thing is with TikTok, who is owned by China, the version of TikTok that is shown here is not shown in China.
You're right.
It's totally different.
They're restrictive in China with their children.
How about that?
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. All right. So let's take a break. When we come back, California citizens continue their outbound stampede as the state's deficit hits $68 billion. We're going to talk about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Esta noche bailamos. Te doy toda mi vida.
Hey, we're back. Thank you for being with us, by the way. And California. Now, here's the state that you have to really work hard at to make it unattractive for people. California is facing a major budget crisis due to a severe revenue decline and a record $68 billion budget deficit. That's billion with a B. It likely forces Democrats running the state to cut spending as the mass exodus of people and businesses continue. And they ain't going to other, liberal states. They're going to conservative states. Conservative states. In fact, California saw its first ever population decline 3 years ago when the state imposed rigid COVID lockdown policies. From January 2020 to July 2022, the state lost well over 500,000 people, with the number of residents leaving surpassing those that were coming in by almost 700,000. I think the price of gas alone would keep me out of California. I wouldn't want to rent a car, you know, go there, rent a car, and pay $7 a gallon or whatever it is these days. It's the worst. It's the worst anywhere. I don't know why they haven't figured out. They ought to lower their state taxes.
Exactly, it's the state taxes and stuff.
Sure, it is
through the roof. It's more than double what we're paying here.
Yeah,
and then people are saying, well, maybe they need new roads.
Yeah, it's just crazy. And of course, it's not just that. Look at the homeless population situation. You know, every one of their major cities falling apart. You know, San Francisco, it's the saddest thing.
And what I'm seeing so much online, the video that people are taking nowadays, are these smashing and grabs, and they just walk right out of these stores.
Yeah.
It's everywhere now. It's everywhere. It's North Carolina, South Carolina. Not just
it's very
California
scary
anymore.
It's horrible. I mean, you know, cities are going to lose businesses left and right. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's the minority people that are in the cities, and this is where all of this is occurring. They're going to lose their ability to go and shop.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting that bad. Well, we have got the Master Barber with us, Andrew, and we're always delighted to have him. And Andrew, a lot is going on. I guess you heard yesterday that Hunter Biden is being indicted. Speaking of California, he's being indicted in the Golden State for tax fraud.
Well, Paul, they're probably going after Hunter because they figure he could bail them out of the deficit.
Maybe you're right. He's got more money than they do.
That's right. That's probably why they're going after
him. Now that I think about it, you're right.
And you know, and you got to realize when people are leaving California, I mean, when people go there to visit, when they get off the plane, they hand them the poop map.
Yes.
Which Ron DeSantis had out the other day. I don't know if you saw that.
I did see it.
Yeah, you know, you get one of those when you get off the airplane. And
yeah, that's pretty sad.
What are you going to do? California's done, buddy.
And yet, Gavin Newsom is supposedly the golden knight or whatever it is that will rescue the Democrats if somehow Biden fails to be the nominee.
Well, he's not going anywhere. And he will be their nominee. There's no question about it.
Biden or Gavin?
Gavin Newsom?
Who's going to be the nominee, Gavin or Biden?
Gavin.
It's gonna be Gavin.
Okay, go ahead.
There's no question in my mind about it.
All right.
And you know, he gets in the ring with Trump. Trump will make hamburger out of him. The guy's a little weasel to begin with. He couldn't even answer any questions when he debated Ron DeSantis. And why would he debate the man at second place?
Yeah.
You know, if I was gonna debate anybody, he'd be right for the top person. But he was afraid of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a big farce, Paul. The country's in an uproar. We're in a big mess. Biden can't stand up for himself, and here they're going after Trump in court in New York.
By the way, he won an appellate victory. Did you know about this appellate victory that he won? They can't go after.
Yep.
They can't pull away his businesses. I mean, they're in the middle of a trial, and they're trying to pull away shut down, or not allow him to handle some of his businesses. What's going on with that?
It's a bunch of baloney, Paul. The Democrats are desperate. I mean, they're going down for the third time, buddy, and they aren't going to resurface. And again, it's like I always said, it's not the Democrat Party anymore, and people are starting to realize that. It's the Socialist Communist Party.
So what do you think about the tax fraud? Do you think this guy, David Weiss, the guy that has been the prosecutor, is he finally seeing the light? Or do you think it's because these IRS, whatever you want to call them, whistleblowers came forward and said, look what's going on here. You got to do something about it.
Paul, I think it's the Democrats wanting to get rid of Biden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they
so it's the Democrats.
One way or another. And I know that Weiss is the prosecutor, don't get me wrong. But something's going on and they want Biden gone.
Okay.
I don't trust too many prosecutors, Paul, because in the last 5 years, what have these prosecutors have done? Nothing.
Yeah.
No, absolutely nothing.
I agree with you.
I mean, look at the prosecutor in New York going after Trump. You know, she got paid like $430,000 so far for that trial.
She got paid that much?
That's right.
The prosecutor?
Yeah. What's her name there?
Yeah, I know who you mean.
Yeah.
I can't think of her name.
I was reading yesterday, $430,000 so far. with this trial. I mean, what's going on?
Who's paying her $430,000?
Well, I guess they were saying that that was taxpayers' money that, you know, she's using to go into this trial.
Oh, well, she might be spending that kind of money.
Right, okay, there you go, yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe she was being paid that kind of money.
I'm quite sure she's been pocketing some money from George Soros.
Oh, well, that's true. Yeah.
Hey, did anybody watch the last debate on Wednesday?
I did.
I did not, because it was Survivor Night and Amazing Race. But I did watch some of the lowlights. Chris Christie.
Lowlights is right.
Chris Christie with his final audition for CNN.
Yeah,
and his yelling and screaming. I tell you, there wasn't enough time. I think by the time the debate was over, he hit the buffet table and then went right to the CNN desk. He was on there within minutes. And all he did was complain about Ramaswamy degrading and yelling and then all this stuff and all these bad words that he said about Nikki Haley. Yet every time they opened up Chunky's microphone, all he did was bash Trump.
Oh, that's his major goal.
But he was talking about dividing the people. All he did was bash Trump the entire time his microphone was open.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't blame Trump at all for not even wasting his time.
I don't either. I think he was genius now.
Because all they would do is the four people would go after Trump. I mean, big deal. They are not going to beat him, and they're not going to beat him by putting him down and doing negative things.
Well, actually, did you watch the debate? Because I did, and they didn't talk that much about they were not bashing. They were bashing each other more than they were bashing Trump.
Except for Christie.
Well, Christie, yes. But Christie, even Christie was going after, like you said, Ramaswamy. And Ramaswamy was going after Nikki Haley, and DeSantis was also going after. Nikki Haley was the one that they were going after more than anybody on that stage. In fact, I think Ramaswamy almost kind of talked his way out of any possibility, even of being a vice president to Trump.
No, if that indeed he couldn't.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of that, they should have given Ramaswamy a free T-shirt. And then if they can find one big enough for Chris Christie, to give him a T-shirt and send him on their way.
There you go.
No, so they're done. I mean, they're talking. There's two more debates planned, from what I understand.
Really?
I thought that was the last one.
I think that's supposed to be the last one. Although
it was supposed to, but they're talking in January. Two more coming up.
Well,
that's okay. That's the last one before the Iowa caucus.
Caucus.
Yeah. We'll see where all of that goes. I thought. Quite frankly, I thought that that DeSantis has done well in every debate. I thought he did well again, I must say. I have more confidence in Ron DeSantis than anybody else on that debate stage, for sure.
Oh, there's no question. You know, Ron lacks one thing. He's intelligent as can be. And you notice how he smiled a little bit more on this debate.
He looks uncomfortable. I agree with that, and I know you're going to probably mention he does look uncomfortable. I was thinking, if I was helping him, I would have him as an example. Do you notice when they're talking about him, let's say one of the other three was criticizing, he stares straight ahead. Rather than do that, kind of just slump down a little bit, relax, and turn and look at the person that's talking to you.
Yep.
He does look a little too stiff. I think that's the thing. He comes across as a little bit too stiff.
Called personality.
Yes. That's his personality.
He's not an extrovert.
No, he's not.
And he's not an extrovert.
I myself absolutely cannot hold that against him. That's why I like him. In fact, I kind of like him being that way because he seems like as a button-down, you know, thing. But I see where he's not as, you know, let's face it, Trump just is very has people in the palm of his hands when he's talking.
When Trump walks in the room, he takes all the oxygen out.
He takes all the oxygen out. He looks totally comfortable in front of an audience.
He's just
it's like an audience, what's the word? Mm. It feeds his ego to the point that he just he shines out.
And then there was that the town meeting. Did you see that one with Hannity?
Yep. Yes. It was unbelievable.
Okay. Yes.
Now Hannity came out and said, "Will you use your powers if you were reelected to go after the people that whatever?" And he said on day one, and he paused and he said, "We're going to drill, baby, drill, and we're going to put the wall back up." I didn't hear him say anything like, "Yes, I'm going to weaponize the DOJ just like Biden did and go after all these people.
You are correct.
Did you hear him say that?
No, he didn't say that.
I didn't hear him say that.
No.
But that's what was perceived.
What he kind of was saying was the only executive action that I'm going to take or whatever, executive order, without waiting for anybody, is to drill, baby, drill,
okay,
and to close that southern border.
Well, he's a dictator if he's going to do that.
Excuse me, but
when Biden's first day in office, what did he do? He killed the Keystone Pipeline. Okay?
Yep.
That was the first thing he did. He stopped the wall.
Yep.
But he's not mentioned as a dictator.
And he said that we weren't going to drill for fossil fuels. He said we were stopping that. So Trump is basically saying, I'm opening up ANWR. I'm going to reduce the regulations. We're going to drill, baby, drill. And fossil fuels and fracking and everything else is back on the table. We are the greatest producer of energy in the world. And we're going to stay that way. And we're going to get even better. And then we're also going to get down there. And we're going to close that border. And we're going to do everything it takes. I'm going to line up the whatever troops we need to line up. No one's coming through if we can help it anymore. And we're not going to play games with this anymore, you know. And I think
you sound like a real Trump fan to me there, Paul.
I am when it comes to Trump. I'm glad to vote for him. I happen to like DeSantis as well. But I think DeSantis would do the same thing. I think DeSantis would do the same thing.
But you know what? He would, but without the style.
That's right.
When Trump does it, it'll be like the parade is coming in to do it, buddy.
I agree.
You understand?
That's
true. When Ron does it, it'll be very mundane.
Yeah. I absolutely agree.
And you know what? That's what the people want to see, Paul.
Yeah, I think so, too.
People want to see. They want to see a parade with that wall going up.
Did we just not have, correct me if I'm wrong, 12,000 illegal immigrants cross our southern border a couple of days ago? It is the highest number of illegal immigrants that walked into our country, supposedly, ever. Ever.
That's right. And they're proud of it.
I don't understand how Biden can look people in the eye anymore. I don't understand how that stupid guy, Mayorkas, that is supposedly the border czar or whatever he is, how that guy remains in office, how in that Homeland Security guy, how in the hell does that guy remain in office?
Well, Paul,
they should have thrown him out 2 years ago.
You got to realize when you said Biden, you know, he can't stay. He stares at space. He does not know what's going on.
Yeah, it shows.
Okay? He does not know. It was Obama that's smiling ear to ear letting this happen. You know he's in the background telling them what to do. And, you know, the Democrats, they loved Obama. They thought he was a god.
Oh, and there's no question. He was the redeemer for them. There's no question.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, Biden stares into space. He has no clue that this is. You know what? When you deal with an elderly person like that that's losing their mind, you really got to pay attention. This guy has lost his mind. He has no clue where he is, okay? And this is just going to keep happening. He is not the president.
I think everybody has to admit it, that there's something terribly wrong with him. He's not able to complete a sentence anymore.
No.
So
he,
you know that his mind is...
geriatric ward.
His mind is not functioning correctly.
He can't stand there in front of a podium and take questions, but he's making decisions like this.
By the way, he put himself in deeper jeopardy. Did you? Somebody from, I think, the New York Post was asking him about his contacts with these business associates of Hunter, and he continues to say, "I'm not."
Yeah.
Everybody, because he's using pseudonyms on emails to talk. Everybody knows he's lying.
Yeah.
All you got to do is open his mouth.
That's
absolutely
right.
Listen. The fact is, everything that they're doing to Trump is what they're doing. You know, everything they're blaming Trump for, that they're trying to get him nailed for, is what the Democrat Party's been doing all along.
Yeah,
they're the ones that did the cheating, and Biden's the ones that's stealing all the money. They're blaming Trump.
Yeah.
In New York, look what they're doing in New York. The guy got a loan, paid it off with interest ahead of time.
Yep.
And here's Biden just getting money from his pockets.
Yeah, I think that thing falls apart.
Putting it in his pockets. I mean, it's ridiculous. Menendez is still on the job, putting all the gold bars in his jacket. I mean,
yes.
They should be gone right away.
It's all falling apart. You're right about that.
I mean, where I came from, they would have got Menendez with the gold bars, put them in his pocket, and dropped them in the ocean. Believe me.
Yes, I think you're right. The gold bars still in his pocket.
But yet the guy still got his job, and he could get his pension.
It's scary. It really is.
And they go after the man that worked, turned this country around, that worked for no pay, and he's the only president in history that ever went into the office with more money than he walked out of it.
I think he's looking better and better every day, especially with this latest info on Hunter. It's always a pleasure to have you. Thank you so very much, Andrew, for calling in, buddy. I look forward to next week with you.
Have a good weekend.
Yeah,
guys.
The same
talk
to you.
Later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The Master Barber. All right, we're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 greatest Christmas songs.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. Freedom Works, thank you so very much for being with us on this Friday. And before we get to our top 10, Ed, I just thought I'd ask you real quickly. I know you're running around there. You got some things to do, but it is Friday, and it is the Bucks are going to be playing, I think, this weekend. I'll make sure with you. Are they playing?
They're in Atlanta. This should be the knockout punch.
For them or for Atlanta?
for the Bucks, this should put them out.
Oh, you think? So? Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. In other words, they're still in the hunt.
You want to know what the warning sign is that we've got problems?
Yes.
When players' wives come out and criticize the head coach.
Ooh.
That's when you've got a problem.
Do we have the players' wives criticizing the head coach?
And I mean, it's Chris Godwin's wife.
Now, what is she doing? She's going to ruin his
this
job.
These two are such great, nice people that do a lot for the community, but she's had enough. I guess there was some lies about him being hurt. She didn't like that, and she came out and said something about
it. Okay, now who is Chris Godwin? So
he's a wide receiver for the Bucks,
and he's a good one?
Yeah.
And
the coach came out and said, well, we're limiting his play until he's 100%. And he was like, what's going on?
100%. What is going on?
I don't know. Maybe you could ask him.
Do you think there's an issue between the coach and Chris?
There's a problem. A problem.
Okay, and the Lightning lost last night in Nashville.
I saw that. Yeah.
What's going on with their... I thought that
they've got a five-game road trip, I think. So that was loss number one.
Vasilevsky was not in goal for them last night. I don't know if that made any difference.
Well, he's not going to be able to work every night like he did before the injury.
That's true, too, yeah. Okay, Ed, it's time for our top 10, and these are the updated top 10 greatest Christmas songs. It comes from timeout.com, so let's, with no further ado, let's go. Number 10. Do you remember Brenda Lee, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree?
Yeah, that's always popular.
That's a very popular song. I love it. 1958. It's been going on for a long time. Mm. All right, number 9. Now, this one, Ed, I hope you know because I don't. Stay Another Day by East 17. Have you ever heard of that
I've heard
one?
Of that. Yeah.
It was done in 1994. East 17's all-time Christmas classic was not supposed to be a Christmas song, as the Walthamstow, England group's songwriting member Tony Mortimer said, it's actually an incredibly sad song inspired by his brother's suicide.
Jeez.
All right, number 8. Santa Claus is Coming to Town. Now, there's been a lot of versions of that one. This one, they say, the Jackson 5's version in 1970.
Yeah.
I remember that one. It was a good one. Number 7. Here's another oldie, but a goodie. Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Well, I got banned last year. Remember
that? I know, but this one that we're talking about was the Ella Fitzgerald Louis Armstrong version, 1949.
Yeah. Was that one banned too or not?
I don't think so, but these days you never know. Number 6.
I was saying, remember the good old days when people would just spin records backwards to hear the Hidden Devil
meeting?
That's
right.
Yeah, those good old days.
That's good old days. Number 6. Feliz Navidad. You remember that one, don't you?
Yeah, I can never get that down, though.
But the only words in the song are Feliz Navidad.
You only hear it a couple of times a year. You
know? I like it. Jose Feliciano.
I memorized like half of it, and then the years, you know, the Christmas is gone, and then by November, I've forgotten all the words again.
To me, it's one of those songs, once you hear it, you just keep re-humming it in your mind. All right, number 5. It's called Christmas, and then in parentheses, Baby, Please Come Home by Darlene Love in 1963. I don't remember it. Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Number 4. I think this is my favorite, to be honest with you. White Christmas, Bing Crosby.
Yeah, you can't go wrong with that
one. You can't. It was done in 1942. You know, it's the most, the number one most popular selling song of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number 3. Last Christmas by Wham. Yeah, you got
That's my favorite. I like
that. Yeah, it's a favorite. It's number 3 and it was done in 1986. Number 2. Fairy Tale of New York. The Pogues and Christy McCall. 1988. Do you recall that song?
Nope.
I don't either, but it must be pretty popular. It's number 2.
Oh.
All right. And number 1.
I know it. Hang on.
Okay. What do you think?
I'm going to even forego. I'll give you the drum roll.
Give me the drum roll. All right. What is it?
It's Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You. Is it?
You are correct. And I'm glad you found it. That was quick. All I Want for Christmas Is You.
Well, usually you accuse me of cheating.
That's a great song. Listen, everybody, have a safe weekend. We will be back Monday. In the meantime, remember, freedom works.